Beloved congregation, we ask this morning your attention for the consideration of the 23rd Lord's Day. But what does it profit thee, thee now that thou believest all this, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life? Thus far. We have to talk about justification. A point and a part of our doctrine that had brought time and again much confusion in the church. Especially in the days of the Synod of Dort in 16, 18 and 19. Our fathers, they have the strife with the remonstrance. The remonstrance of Armenians who have the same heirs and the same ideas as in 450 the Pelagians and connected in the doctrine with the Socinians. I hope that all of you know the ideas of Arminius, Pelagians, and the Remonstrants that were the people that were fighting for the free will of men, and who had thought that man in his fall in Adam in paradise, that he became sick. Our doctrine, our Reformed doctrine, that is on the basis of the Bible and the Word of God, that man is dead in trespasses and sin, because if we are sick, then it is possible that we restore from our sickness. But if we are dead, then it is an hopeless case. Then there is no doctor that can do anything. And those remonstrants and Armenians were also the people that thought that Christ died for everybody. And they lay also salvation in the hand of men. And another thing, they did not believe that the work of the Holy Spirit was necessary. Well, partly, but not entirely. At the Synod of Dort, they have the strife about justification, because our fathers, Homerus, that was the chairman, and Voetius, clerk, our fathers have spoken and instructed the people always that there was a justification before faith, and they believe also in a justification by faith, before and by. A justification before faith that is entirely outside of men. Because when they spoke about justification before faith, then they refers to justification from eternity. And justification in the resurrection of Christ. The text for justification before faith, that is in Revelation 13, that the Lamb is slain before the foundation of the world. And the second text that we always use to prove that is in the second epistle of Timothy, the first chapter, verse 9. Write it me down if you have desire, because then the Bible, that is the end of all gainsaying. In 2 Corinthians 1, there it is, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That are especially the two texts that we use for the justification before faith in eternity. But now the justification in the resurrection of Christ, we have a text for that too. And that text, that is Romans 4, verse 25. And there it said about Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And now those remonstrants, they came against it. They showed their enmity against justification before faith. And that men as individual that he is totally standing outside of it. Totally. Before the children have done good or evil, before they were born, said the Bible. And then it was all determined by God, by his sovereign love and grace. They were enemies of their doctrines. They are still, because in what they are writing time and again, they bring that never on the foreground. They lay it all in the hand of men. And man is free what to do. I have read to you this morning a part of Romans 3. And their congregation, we have our picture. That is now the reality, how it is with men. By nature, there is not one who can believe that and will believe that. But it has to become a reality for us personally in our life. And to come to the awareness of it in the depth of our hearts, congregation, that is only by the overpowering power of the Holy Spirit. And otherwise, then we are enemies of that doctrine. I told you many times that the greatest trouble in our life, that is to accept and to become what we are. An almighty power and nothing less. An almighty power is necessary to bring us to that place. Otherwise we are fighting against it and biting against it. Because, and that is the result, congregation, if we become for ourselves what we are, then the only place where we have to go to, that is hell. That is hell. And by nature, we are not fit for that, right? No. By nature, we are flying from that. And that is, whether that we now believe that yes or no, but that is because in the fall of Adam, We all became hypocrites. All of us. Pharisees. And how that our conscience speaks, but still we are busy to climb upon some mountain or hill that we justify ourselves. There is so many people, oh yeah, by nature all of us, that we cannot believe that it is so worse with men. Only when the Spirit have convinced us of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. And now I have to say something in between this morning. Do realize, congregation, that I'm not talking about living in sin. I'm not talking about that. But to know sin by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. I have to say something about that too, to make it a little clear, I hope so, for you. You have heard, most of you, about Comrie and Brakel. And now Comrie, he was ook een divijn. That Comrie, that was all his lifetime in his sermons, and he wrote a special letter about justification. Special letter. That man that had fight for the justification in eternity, for justification in the resurrection of Christ, for justification in our conscience, and justification in the day of judgment. Brakel, he had not done that. Brakel, he emphasized in all his writings the necessity of the justification in our conscience. Why that there was such a difference in those two persons? Why? I will explain that to you. That was because of the strife that people had in the days in which they were living. Comrie had a strife with the Armenians, not Brakel. Brakel had to fight against the Antinomians, and the Antinomians, they were fighting for justification in eternity, and they came to the conclusion that for the church, for the true church of God, that everything is firm in eternity. We believe the same thing. But now, the people that made a wrong conclusion out of that, because the antinomians, that is people that is against the law. The people that will not know anything about the moral law. Reading in the church, of course. They are against it. Because they say they bring God's people back to Moses. But the antinomians, they say, you can live as you desire to live and want to live, but if you are elected, you come in heaven. And you have to become aware of justification in your mind. That was a conclusion what Dr. Kuyper in 1800 also brought on the foreground. He was also a strong fighter for justification in eternity. And so far there was nothing against it. But slowly on, then they took away the emphasis of justification in the court of conscience. And they came so far as the antinomians, that means most of the followers, they came so far that they say that there have to take place something especially in your life that is not necessary. Only you have to come to the awareness that the justification of Christ, that you are sharing that, and that you have also a part in that. Thus, going to heaven without the work of God in your heart. Your father converted, your mother a Christian, and you have nothing done what is amiss and wrong so far. Now, yeah, you have got your daily sins, but that is not so bad. So they talk. And we have Christ as an appreciation for our sin. Thus, we lay everything upon that Christ. And we go with gladness in our heart and with joy we go to heaven. Brackley said, no, boy, no. You have to know justification in your conscience. And of course, Comrie, he had also emphasized that. It was not at Comrie that he denied that, no. He wrote a book about faith. Some is explained, translated in English. I want that all his works were translated in English, because it is a wonderful writer, wonderful. And so clear in justification in the conscience as the sun on the sky. Why that now in the Synod of Dort, why that it was accepted, justification before faith and justification by faith? Why? Because our fathers, they have laid the foundation in eternity. And that is the greatest comfort for God's people here in this world, that it is in eternity. Why have I to add many words to that people this morning? Why? Because That is our preaching all the time, that man is standing outside of it. And that now God was moved in himself from all eternity to reconcile a sinner with him and to restore a sinner in communion with him. If it was laid in our hands, people, and it was asked, you and me, then it is all no. I tell you, if you have no little conscience and a little respect for the word of God, then we have to say, looking into our own heart, that our only desire by nature that is to go straight to hell. To go straight to hell. We have sold ourselves to the devil, people, and sold ourselves to sin. And we cannot bring in our heart and mind one thought that is pleasing in the sight of God. We cannot break off one thought that is evil. Even what we think about when we sit in the church. There is nothing in men. No, nothing. But God is moved from all eternity. And now all that people that he had elected and that he had loved from eternity, he called them in the time with an holy calling. And then there is a willing people in the day of God's power. Willing. We read, I gave you examples from the Bible this morning. Because we have to be instructed in the word of God too. And we have to know our doctrine. Every sermon that cannot be always so experimental. I desire that well. But I realize I have also to bring the right doctrine on the pulpit. We read in the Bible about the justification of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. The justification of Abraham in Romans 4 verse 11. The justification of Jacob and Peniel in Genesis 32. The justification of David in Psalm 18. The justification of Isaiah in the 6th chapter. And the justification of Yahshua, the high priest, that is in Zechariah 3. And to all that people, the righteousness of Christ was imputed to them. The sin of Adam is imputed to us, people. The guilt, the pollution, the dominion, the results, that is all imputed to us. Therefore you can, I hope, that's all that I can say, but I hope that all of you came to that knowledge, And then you can understand, people, what a heavy burden that it becomes for a sinner if he come to the consciousness and to the awareness of those things for his own heart and for his own soul. Then he shall not leap here in the world dancing, no. But then we go with a heavy burden upon our back. And then it shall become more and more on the side of men an impossibility to come rid of it, till that Christ and his righteousness be revealed unto us. And there is hope and there is expectation for a lost and for a condemned sinner. I go back now to the question. But what does it profit thee now that thou believest all this? That thou believest all this, that means now what is declared so far in our catechism, especially from the 11th Lord's Day till the 22nd Lord's Day. Because in the Lord's Day 11, then it starts with the name of Jesus. Lord's Day 12, the name of Christ. Lord's Day 13, the name Lord. Why? That is, Christ is mentioned with the name of Lord, that he had bought and that he delivered his people. Then it come to the states of Christ, the state of his humiliation and the state of his exaltation. That is all explained there in our catechism. But now the question is, but what does it profit thee now, after all that you have heard, where the foundation is laid in Christ, and in his mediatorial work, sufficient and necessary for a sinner to be justified before God? But what does it profit thee now that thou believest all this? And when it speaks about belief, then of course we have to think not about historical faith, miraculous, temporal, but saving faith. There is a superficial knowledge, and there is also a speculative knowledge. The world and the church is full of it. You read in the Bible about Agrippa, almost a Christian, almost, but not entirely, no. You read about Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8. He followed for a time Philip, for a time. He believed Philip. He did agree with Philip. But all for a time. En dan later aan het came out that the true work of God was not in his heart. In historical knowledge and temporal knowledge, miraculous faith, there is no connection with Christ. And Christ is the life of his people. Christ is the Prince of life, the fountain of life. He is the life himself. I am the way, the truth and the life, he said. And if he never come here in the time, in connection with that Christ congregation, you read that in the seventh Lord's day, if we never are united with the Christ, then we stay in that person with all the knowledge that we have and with all the insight that we have, because we can have a deep insight in the truths and in the ways of the Lord, but still a dead person. And it is always temporary. In the days of days, there shall people appear before Christ, that they shall say, we have preached in thy name, we have done miracles in thy name. And then he shall say, go away, I have never known you. It is really, congregation, a serious question for each and every one. And therefore the question that said this morning, but what does it profit thee now that thou believest all this? We must have profit out of it. And if it all stay on the outside, that it never touched our heart, that it never brings us as a sinner at the feet of God, that it never become a lost condition for us, that it never come to a time, people, that we fall under the justice and under the righteousness of God. We must have profit of it. And a question we have to ask that ourselves, not yet go to your neighbor, no. There is people in the church that when they are spinster ears so much on Sunday, and then they hear always something for the neighbor and always something for other people, but never for himself. And that is now the point, because in the day of judgment we shall not be asked about other people. No. One time, one of our deceased ministers, he said on the pulpit, in his application, he said, when you come before the Lord shall never ask how that it is with your neighbor, how that it is with your father, with your mother, but, and also not, how is it with the government? Know that all fall away, people. But how is it with me? How is it with me? And have I received ground in my life that I can appear before the Lord? I shall not say it in regard to this question this morning, that there come a time in our life that we were cut off, but also accepted. And accepted by the Lord, that is only when the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us and applied to our heart. And that have always to come on the foreground in our heart and in our soul. We can receive Christ by faith, but never without applying of Christ. The applying of Him that is always on the foreground. Take that this morning with you. Because all that accepting of Christ, our days are full of it. You become sick of it, really sick. All that acceptance of Christ without a work of the Holy Spirit that have no value at all, people. No. And they shall all fall away in the day of this. But what a blessing that we can give an answer to the question. But before that we talk a little about that answer, we shall not sing. 83. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven. 83, the first stanza. But what does it profit thee now that thou believest all this, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life? By nature, there is not one righteous before the Lord. You have heard that this morning by the reading of Romans 3. Not one. No. But now righteous in Christ before God. On account that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And on account that Christ was raised up for the justification of his people. Paul, he said in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 that Christ was justified in the Spirit. In the state of Christ's humiliation, then he stood before his Father as judge. The Father is the judge. Then he stood there as a guilty one with all the guilt of his elect people. With all the guilt. And God as Yetz was always behind him. Always, day and night. That was the reason, congregation, that he declared that the fox have holes and the bird had nest, but the Son of Man had nothing to lay down his head. When did Christ receive rest? When on Calvary's cross, that he cried out, "It is finished." Then he found rest. And that his mediatorial work was accepted by his Father. And now let I say it in this manner, people. Now there can be a time in our life that the Lord has called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. There can be a time in our life that the Lord had opened for our soul his word. I hope that you will follow what I tell you now. Because I say that with a purpose, to instruct you in the right ways of the Lord. I do not say when Christ is revealed, no, but when the Lord has opened his word and his testimony, because that is in general the royal way in which the Lord leads his people. Opened his word. And that we realize in the sweetness of it. Jeremiah said, when I have found thy word, it was sweeter than honey and than honeycomb. There is a time for God's children. I mentioned them now as God's children. If you would say it to them, then they would say, "Boy, stop. I am not a child of God. I dare to say that. I have no freedom to say it." They are be careful, people. They are be careful. They are so afraid that they shall deceive their soul for eternity. They receive an opening in the word of God for the heart. And that is the reason that they are drawn to that word. They are glad that it is Sabbath day and that they can go up to the house of worship. They are sometime a laboring. What shall the minister's text today? What shall he talk about today? They look out to that board there. Out of Romans? No. Maybe the catechism, because that Romans 3 there speaks about justification, and we are on that same order now. Thus we have maybe in this morning the catechism. Maybe there's some people that had not thought that morning, this morning about it. And then the songs, everything so far as it can that refers to that subject, they are living with it. Because the Lord, Erskine, he said in a sermon out of Exodus, that the Lord brings his people in the field of interest. in the field of interest. They become interested. Yeah. And they have opening in the word of God, but opening at the throne of grace. It is a pleasure to bow their knees, to talk to the Lord, to open their heart before Him. Oh yes, what a blessing, people. But that is not staying. No. They come other times in their life. They come more light about their state and their condition. They have no ground to meet the Lord. And they have well an opening in the scriptures, but not Christ. Not Christ. And to know Him, that is life eternal. Thus the necessity of that knowledge that come more and more on the foreground in the life of God's children. Again, congregation, that is the way in which the Lord leads His people. And when they come to the realization in their life that they have no God for their heart and no surety for their soul, then that necessity they come on the foreground. And then they learn to ask for an opening in that Christ for the soul. Because with all that they have experienced, they cannot meet the Lord. No. They need a personal knowledge of Christ for their own soul. And what a blessing when it comes so far that flesh and blood had not revealed that unto them, but my Father who is in heaven. But that is also not justification in the conscience, no? That is also not justification in the conscience. That is well leading to the matter, but it is not the matter itself, no? Therefore, congregations, we must not be careful. Be careful. And then the knowledge of Christ as a person, that is well a privilege. The knowledge of Him as Savior, as Mediator, as Surety, but also the knowledge of Him as Advocate. An advocate, that is a person that takes the case and the matter up for other people. For people that not can do it himself. And now after the revelation of Christ, and to brought in to His mediatorial work, that's a great blessing, but it is still not the applying of it. No. There is always, between every benefit that the Lord gave to His people, there is always a way of emptiness, a way of enmity, a way of discouragement. I have now experienced this and experienced that, and still no durable peace and rest in mijn hart. Wat is nou de matter? What is now the matter? Because we are not justified in our conscience. And congregation, I hope next time, if the Lord spared us, and he will give opening, because it's all dependent on that. Not my wisdom, and my knowledge. But then we hope to explain more to you that God as judge have to come on the foreground. Because we have sinned against God. And he required his justice be maintained. He required his image for from us, which we were adored in our creation. There is people that speaks about the forgiveness of sin. Always was that, not today alone. But that had no knowledge of a judge. And a judge is doing two things. He condemned or he acquit. One of the two. And now, to know a judge, humanly speaking now, if I know tomorrow go to the courthouse, that I say I go to the courthouse, what shall I find there then? An empty house, because there is no judge. To find a judge, then I must be summoned. I must be called for that judge, and then he is there. And if I not come there, then the police will come with a car to take me out of my house. And who can forgive our sins than God only? But what does it profit thee now? That thou believest all this, that I am righteous in Christ before God, and an heir of eternal life. Because the righteousness of Christ must be imputed, and God himself, he have to do that. In other words, congregation, I hope that you can follow it. I cannot come with Christ to God. But God himself have to come down with his Christ to my soul. That is now the case. And I am always busy to do the first thing. Because I desire not to be caught up. And I will not be justified as a converted man, but I have to be justified as a wicked man and as a sinner. And that are all mysteries that only the Lord can teach us and can instruct us. We hope to go farther the next time the Lord will, and it is time for the children too to go to home. But now, the question that is, but what does it profit thee now, that thou believest all this, and congregation, what is now your answer, and what is my answer? And in regard to justification, I will not mention one thing, and then you can go. In the first place, what is the Lord teaching about it in his word? In the second place, what have our fathers explained of it? And in the third place, What have I experienced out of it for myself? That are the three things. We are not justified before the Lord by nature. We are guilty. But my uncomforted fellow traveler, that it becomes a heavy matter. That the Lord bind it up on our heart. And that we cannot die in that state and condition in which we are born. But that we must be justified. That the righteousness of Christ must be applied to our hearts. Ask the Lord that he will instruct you in those matters so necessary. And believe it, we are so blind in ourselves, people. So blind that we cannot explain it, how that it is. But the opening of thy word that gives light. And not only justified in Christ before God, but an heir of eternal life to restore in that fellowship with him in which we were in paradise with the triune God. That those that have a spark of life received in their heart, that they also examine himself how far that the Lord had led us and how far that the Lord had brought us. And what we now know for ourselves in reconciliation, but also in restoration. And that the only foundation is in eternity, and the only ground in Christ, the Lord sanctify the few words of this morning for our hearts. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony to the salvation of our soul and to the honor of thy great and holy name. Bring us back in this afternoon and evening under thy word and testimony. And that it may please thee, Lord, that it was to the gladness of our heart and to the rejoicing of our soul. Oh, appear unto us and reveal thyself unto us and apply ourselves unto our soul as the way, the life, and the truth, and that we find that durable peace and rest in God, and that only resting in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ out of free and sovereign grace. Amen. Number 184. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. And what follows? 184. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.